Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome once again to Connecting Faith. It's great to have you along. I'm Neil Stavem, and we're here to help you connect your faith to everyday life, talk about biblical principles, how we apply them to life situations. Today's topic, I think, will be helpful and relevant for a lot of us, and looking forward to introducing our guest in a minute. Ted, I was just thinking, we had our staff meeting this morning. We're talking about getting ready to launch the Your Sacred Yes. Study next week, right?
So. Yeah, it's coming up. Is it the 8th, I think, the date?
Yeah,
that's
Monday's.
The deadline. So yeah. Go ahead and log on to myfaithradio.com. You'll see it first thing on the main page right there.
That's Susie Larson's book, her latest book, Your Sacred Yes. And there's going to be an online study. And so you can sign up for that. You'll get information. There's some videos you can watch, interactive conversations, things too. So it's going to be a great opportunity just to learn and grow.
People received the book as a part of this. Is that correct?
Several did, yes. Okay. I think they did some drawings.
You can find it, though, online bookstores.
Yeah,
you'll find it.
It'd be great. So check that out, Your Sacred Yes. You can sign up today, myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. And maybe something you want to do with one of your adult children. That's going to be our topic today as we talk about our children as they grow. You know, we never stop being parents, even when our kids are grown, but some things do change. And so as our sons and daughters move into young adulthood, our role of what it means to be loving parents changes dramatically. And that's what we're going to address today. And our guest has written a great book called Now That They're Grown, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. Ron Greer is an ordained United Methodist minister. He's director of the Pastoral Counseling Service at Peachtree Road UMC Church, or UMC in Atlanta. And he's served there for, I think, about 3 decades or so. He's also a fellow of the American Association of Pastoral Counselors and has written several books, including Markings on the Windowsill, a book about grief that's really about hope. And if you know who you are, you'll know what to do, Living with Integrity. And then we're going to talk about this book now that they're grown, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. We talked to Ron here maybe it's a year and a half ago or so, and I did check just before the show, Ron, that your children are still adults, right? So you're still qualified to talk about this, right?
That's right. That's right. I'm living it.
You do have a couple adult children and some grandchildren, and do I. So we'll have a good conversation together. And I guess maybe to start, when our children become young adults and it is a different world. Is it generally more of a challenge for parents to adjust or for the child?
In terms of the relationship itself with our adult children, it's more difficult for the parents. But in terms of the transition, Neil, the challenge is far bigger for the young adults. What we are changing is that role in our life, that relationship in our life with these children, these sons and daughters who are absolutely precious to us. And as they move into adulthood, and we all remember when our sons and daughters graduated from high school and they moved in that first leg of their journey toward independence to college, and then that second leg in which they moved into their young adult lives, what a transition that was for us. It was an even bigger transition for them. They were leaving a life of dependency and being taken care of in countless ways to a life of independence with a lot of joy and freedom and excitement, but a life of independence and all the responsibilities that come with that, as they now have to chart out all of those things that we took care of for them over those years. So, in response back to your question, the transition during that point is far bigger for our sons and daughters, and that's something that to me is very important for us as parents of young adults to remember just how big that change is in their lives. But in terms of the change in the relationship itself with them, we are a part of that change as they step away from us, but we're not really the focus of their change. They're looking into their future. We are the ones who are redefining that role in terms of how we have taken care of them over these years. So in terms of the relationship itself, we're far more focused on the impact of that change than they are.
You know, I think as parents, we go through a number of kind of stages as our children grow, and we have to relate to them in different ways. And I know this book really is about, and your heart is all about, our relationship with our kids. So let's maybe talk a little bit about that relationship in terms of, let go, and then maybe where we tend to hold on. I mean, I think we know as parents, yes, ultimately we want our children to go out on their own, but what does it mean to let go?
It's a very funny thing. Before the book was published, Neil, I have two dear friends. They're both mothers, and they both have young adult sons and daughters. Both of them have excellent relationships with their children. The book hadn't been published yet, but here at the church at Peachtree Road Methodist, both of them had heard that the book was coming out. And so they approached me about it within 7 days of each other, and I enjoyed the first one said, "Now, I understand the book is owned," and she described on the parenting young adults. I said, "That's right." And she said, and then the quote was, "Well, that's going to be a short book. Just say, let them go." And so she and I then interacted that conversation, and then within 7 days, I was talking with another mother who has a wonderful relationship with her adult children, and her comment to me was, "Well, we never really let go of them, of course." And as I reflected on both of these mothers' comments, I realized that both of them are right. The first one was right. We do let go. We don't let go of them, but we let go of the responsibility for their lives. We don't step out of their lives, but we step out of their way. It's really, though the profound change happens for those who go to college, it happens in a two-tier process. First, when they go to college, if they leave home to go to college. And then the second tier is when, as I say, they graduate from college and take on the full responsibility of their adult lives. But we've been letting go in far more subtle ways from day one. As they have matured, we have let go of the responsibility for various things throughout their lives as they have taken on those responsibilities. But we then make that final step in letting go, always remembering that that was then. Now that they're young adults, that was then, this is now. We let go out of our love for them, out of the integrity of who they are now, but we let go out of our love for them, because that is the only way that they are going to successfully develop into their maturity, is if we do let go and do turn that over from them. And the other reason we let go is we want to have a great adult-to-adult responsibility for them. And that's going to get in the way if we still try to hold on. And then I suppose third reason is that we want to let go. This is what we have been rearing them for, as we all know well, Proverbs 20, the 22nd chapter, the 6th verse says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." We have been training them for this moment of their independence for over two decades, and therefore we do let go, and we want to let go. But the second mom, who said we never really let go of them, of course, she was referring to something that is equally true, and that is, though we let go of the responsibility for their lives, turn all that over to them, we never let go of them. We are always connected with them. We are always there for them. The letting go doesn't imply less of a relationship, but a change in the relationship. We disconnect from the ways that we were responsible for them in order to reconnect with them with a healthy respect for the adult they are now. We don't cease being parents as they mature into adulthood. We redefine parenthood based on our new peership with them. We're always devoted to it. Let me wrap this up. I don't want to go into too much detail here, Neil. This is the way I think of it. We simply have retired from active duty status, but we're still in the reserves. We're there for them whenever they need to call us up. Is that helpful? Am I making sense?
That's a great way to put it. I like that. We're standing ready to find out how we can best encourage and, as the subtitle of the book says, successfully parenting your adult children. We'll take a quick break and come back and ask Ron to say more about, you know, how we define success. But we're going to talk, you know, today about, you know, boundaries. We'll talk about, you know, maybe kids asking for advice or not. We talked a little bit yesterday in our conversation on finances about, you know, how do we deal with the kids? Maybe we co-signed a loan for them. We'll get into some of those things. What about if our kids are making choices that we don't agree with, morally or sexually, whatever that might be? We'll get into that and more with Ron Greer. We invite you to join the conversation, too. So you might have a particular question in mind that you'd like to get some insight on. We welcome you to the conversation. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Ron Greer is the Director of Pastoral Counseling Services at Peachtree Road Methodist Church in Atlanta and author of the book Now That They're Grown.
Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I must have done something. To deserve a hug every morning and butterfly kisses at night.
Ted, did you pick that one just because you knew how much I love that song?
Yeah, I'm trying to make you cry.
Oh, no. Grind my teeth more.
Yeah,
actually.
Right?
No, there is something special, though, isn't it, about seeing your kids successfully reach adulthood. In fact, Ron Greer has written about that in his wonderful book, Now That They're Grown, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. And, Ron, I'm just interested in you talking a bit about the subtitle there, Successful. How do we measure successfully? What does that look like in parenting our adult children?
Well, first of all, Neil, I want to echo what you said to Ted. That butterfly kiss is, oh, my goodness, he's messing with us there. That touches our hearts as parents of adults. Successfully, that's right. What is successful at this stage? Let me step back, Neil, and share with you what, to me, are the goals that we focus on as being parents of young adults. To me, I have distilled it down to four, and then I want to distill that further down to two, because this is at the heart of what is successful parenting of young adults. Number one, to help them move forward into this new chapter of their lives with its new directions and priorities and loyalties. And the key here is to help them move into their new lives of independence, carving out their new families, their new careers, their new lifestyles with their new families, of which we certainly will be a part, but we'll not be a part of that nuclear family. We're their extended family. So this first one has to do with them helping them move forward successfully into their lives of independence. The next is to help them achieve their full maturity as adults, taking responsibility for their lives, making wise decisions, living out their faith with integrity and character. And this second one has to do with what I think of as a faithful maturity. And then the third of these goals towards successful parenting is to establish new and loving relationships with them, adult to adult, with mutual respect, and as you said a moment ago, we would be talking about boundaries, and with appropriate boundaries. This is, as I also said, this is not to disconnect from them. It is to reconnect with them. It is to disconnect from the way we related with them when they were children and adolescents, but it's in order to reconnect with them in this new way so that we can have a wonderful, loving, engaged relationship with them for the rest of our lives. And that's the third goal, is to establish that new, loving relationship with them. And then the fourth goal doesn't have anything to do with them. The fourth goal is to become more focused on this new chapter of our lives with the nest now empty, we spread our wings in new directions, and we, too, have new priorities. So So when I think of what is successful parenting of young adults, I would distill those four down into two when it comes to our focus on them. That's to help our children mature into their independence and to thrive in their adult lives. And the second one has to do with that's how we're focused on buoying them and helping them set sail into their new lives. The second one has to do with our relationship with them, to develop good, loving relationships with them as the adults they now are. Those are the kind of things I look for, Neil, when I think of how I can be most supportive, most loving, and most helpful in helping them and in helping my relationship with them in their adult lives. That's what success means to me.
Ron, in reference to boundaries and authority and control, just say a little bit more about that. You know, as our kids are grown, they've moved out of the house or maybe moved back. Some have done that just because it's expensive to live today. And so, there's a kind of a different set of ground rules. Are there some common mistakes that we make in this area?
Yeah, there really are, and almost without exception, they're very well-intentioned mistakes. It's out of our desire to be loving, but where we lose focus is on how to translate that, how we can most successfully be loving for them. What we're looking for, what we're always looking for, as we make that transition from childhood, adolescence into their adulthood and those relationships, is that how can we be supportive and yet not intrusive? How are we helpful yet not pushy? How are we caring but not enabling dependency? One distinction to the very point that you're asking that to me is so important is the distinction between caring for our adult children, which is a good thing, and taking care of them, which is not healthy as adult children. Caring for is distinguished from taking care of. Caring for our adult children is doing for them what they can't do for themselves. It's healthy and it's loving. It's being there for them whenever they need us. And that's where, you know, we're talking about we're off active duty status, but we're in the reserves, and we're going to get those calls periodically. And thank goodness they call us when they need us. And these are the times they're asking us, it may be for advice, it may be for help in some other kind of way, some guidance, it may be monetary help to help them over a crisis they did not see coming, but ways that they call us that we can care for them, and again, the definition of that is care for them in ways they cannot yet care for themselves. That's healthy. We want to be in the reserves there for them. But to take care of them is doing for them what they can do or have the capacity to learn to do for themselves. And this is not healthy because taking care of an adult son or daughter enables dependency and it discourages the very thing that we highlight as one of our goals of successful parenting. It discourages maturity and growth. Let me take this one more step. When this so often comes center stage is when an adult child has the need, perhaps it's right out of college or perhaps it's 3 years after college that they lose a job and can't afford their own apartment. And they want to come back. They want to move back home. And so we set that up. And we can talk about that more later in terms of how we talk that through. But this distinction between caring for them and taking care of them comes into focus, especially when we're with them on a day-in, day-out basis, because frequently we're faced with those times that there's something to be done, and we say to ourselves, well, it'd be easier just to do it for them. And that's where we go back to what our goals of successful parenting are. It may be easier, but is it healthier? It may be easier, but if the short view of it would be easier is in contradiction with the long view of what's going to facilitate their independence and their maturity, then the long view wins. The long view almost always wins then. And in those cases, we don't do it for them. We set up a structure on what the relationship would be like after they move back in as adults in order that they are going to do it for themselves because we are there not to pander to them. We are there not to dote over them. We are there to be a fellow adult in this relationship with them as they have moved back in. I have said to many parents over the years, if you still have those taking care of needs within you, all dressed up and nowhere to go, then go coach a little league team or volunteer at Children's Hospital. But let your adult child be an adult. So, Neil, I'm giving you a short answer to your brief question, and your question is about where those boundaries are. And the boundary, one of the most important boundaries, and this is one, as you were asking, that when we make a mistake, this is where we very often make the mistake in crossing over the boundary. And the boundary needs to be drawn with what is going to be, in what ways do I want to be hands-on doing for them, and in what ways do I discern that them doing it for themselves is ultimately going to be healthier and bring out and develop that maturity. Somebody once said the only difference between a river and a swamp is the river has boundaries. By maintaining our respectful boundaries, we keep the relationship flowing.
Good word. We got a couple minutes before the break, and maybe just to pick up on one area that we want to care for, but not care of. Just say a word about any guidelines for financial support and help.
Absolutely, and tell me when we need to break. Have two or three thoughts on that. The very thing we were just talking about is so applicable here. When they come to us wanting help financially, that we will always be responsive. Always, it won't necessarily involve a checkbook, but we'll always be responsive. It may be if they come to us for financial help and they have been irresponsible, is the reason they got themselves into a hole, then that will determine how we want to respond. The response may have to do with guidance. The response may have to do with guiding them to a financial institution in which they can get a loan and then start to pay it off to get themselves out of the hole and develop not only the financial responsibility, but the maturity and the character of doing that. But one of the keys there is to look through those lenses of what's going to ultimately help them mature and grow through this experience.
We'll cut it off there, and we'll come back and pick it up after the break. Because got a hard break coming up in just a moment, and want to give you an opportunity to develop that a little further, because I think it's an area where a lot of people have questions about. You may have some questions just from our conversation already sparked a thought or two. We're talking with Ron Greer about his book, Now That They Are Growing, It's Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. And you can join us with a question or a comment at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or if you want to email your question or comment, it's myfaithradio.com. Click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there, and they will respond to your question. Ron Greer is minister. He's director of pastoral counseling at Peachtree United Methodist Church in Atlanta. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Talking about letting our kids grow and mature and become successful young adults, we're still parents. So what part do we play in that now that they're grown? That's the title of the book from Ron Greer, Now That They're Grown. Ron is director of pastoral counseling at Peachtree Road, United Methodist Church in Atlanta. He's been there for 30-plus years. He's authored several books, Native Louisiana, and a frequent speaker at conferences, churches, and organizations on a variety of issues, including parenting young adults. And we're talking about that today. Ron, we're just referencing before the break a little bit about the issue of helping our kids, giving assistance financially or maybe otherwise. Just, I don't know if there's any more you want to say on that, but give you a chance to kind of finish up that thought.
Just a couple of other things, Neil. On as I was saying, there are several different responses when they request money, and one of them, only one of them, is to give them money. The other is to give them counsel, advice, introduce them to financial experts. But if it's a small request and it feels very appropriate to help them out, something surprised them, didn't see it coming, then many parents will write them out a check if it's a small request. If it's a larger request, for money, a larger amount, there are three options I think of. One of them is tell them, especially if they got in a hole irresponsibly, is that this is a once-in-a-lifetime gift. This is not going to be happening again. A second option is to pay a portion of it and to set up a plan. And again, this is teaching them character, teaching them responsibility. Set up a plan in which you develop a ratio, you match payments with them, one for one or two for one, whatever you feel. But therefore, they feel some, you're helping them, but they feel some of the pressure. They have, as they say, skin in the game. And then another one is to lend them the amount and set up a repayment plan. The other, so those are some options if money is involved in a large way. But remember that fourth goal we talked about, and that has to do with the new chapter in our lives as the adults. We have to take care of ourselves, that we must not do anything as the parents of adults that's going to make ourselves financially vulnerable. Be very careful about co-signing loans. We always think of the co-signer as just being the safety net. Well, the statistics that I've read is when there is a co-signer on a loan, three times out of four, the co-signer is the one who ultimately pays off the loan. Be very careful about that. Don't do anything that is going to make you financially vulnerable when your adult son or daughter come to you for help. And the final word I'd say on it is that if the parent, or in many cases it's the grandparent that the grandchild may come to, is a classic personality caretaker, then claim, if that's true for you, then claim that as your issue and deal with it as your issue that has to be worked through. Get counseling if you need to, if you're about to make yourself vulnerable in this regard, but do not let it ruin you.
Good words. Ron, I want to ask about, if our kids come maybe asking for money, but maybe they're asking for advice, but maybe they never ask for advice, and we would dearly love to give some. It kind of sets up the you can talk about that, because we had an anonymous caller who says she went to her, I think it was grandbaby's birthday. Her granddaughter, who's 11, was there wearing heavy goth makeup, and it seems too young for that, for her age. This listener says, as a Christian, how can I approach my son with my concerns? Her son has blown up at her in the past when she's shared her concerns about other issues, and she's just worried about her granddaughter.
Oh, that's such a good question. And, of course, any grandparent would be concerned. It comes to the issue of unsolicited advice, and oh my word, does every parent of adults and every grandparent identify with that? How frustrating it is when we have all of these great ideas to share with them, and they didn't think to ask us about it. And so we're about to burst there to share this idea. And one of the parts of her question to which I want to respond was there at the very end of her comment, because I so appreciate and respect the pain and the frustration that she feels when she says that at other times her son has blown up at her, and meant that happens with many, many, many parents of adults. Let me move back to 30,000 feet for just a second. And to me, there are four possible ways of giving input when it comes to unsolicited advice. And let me share these, because this distinction is important as you are about to go to your son or daughter, and they didn't ask for it. As you're about to approach them, which level applies here is important. The first is what I call casual input. The next is when we want to give input. The next is when we need to give input. And then the final one is imperative input. Let me say these briefly. Casual input, that's when the issue is no big deal. Just, I call it conversation, where you hear yourself saying, well, buddy, have you considered doing this instead of It just rolls off the tongue. It's part of the flow of the relationship. It's casual input. Have you considered painting the wall blue instead of off-white? The next level is when we want to give input. This is a slightly higher level of need, and this one feels a half step closer to meddling. I want to give it, but it's not imperative. It's still optional. My way of expressing that one, this want to give input level, is, may I make a suggestion about that? Or may I share a different view on that? And you notice it's a question. It's a sincere question. If the answer is yes, I share it. If the answer is no, and again, this is at the level at which my input is optional. If the answer is no, I've got it covered, then we keep it to ourselves. The third level, moving up, is when moving from wanting to give input to needing to give input. This is those times that we all face where we think our son or daughter is about to make a serious mistake that could have lasting consequences. They may be about to buy something that is expensive, it's not necessary, and we don't think they can really afford. Stated respectfully, Neil, this is the way I'm about to say it is the way I would say it, and everybody's got their own way of articulating this. But what I would say, this is at that third level, when this is not where I want to give input. I'm not asking for permission. I need to give input. I'd say something like, this is your call and not mine, but I've got to share my concern, or if it goes badly, I will be kicking myself for a long, long time. And then I share it. I've not asked permission. This is, and oh my goodness, how many times do I refer to that marvelous phrase out of the fourth chapter of Ephesians when St. Paul said, speaking the truth in love. This is speaking the truth in love. And therein is the balance between what is to be spoken as the truth and how it is to be spoken is with thoughtfulness, sensitivity, respect, is to be spoken in love. But this is the third tier. This is speaking the truth in love. The fourth tier, the ultimate tier, we've gone from casual input to want to give input to need to give input to imperative input. This is the highest level of need. This is when our adult child is dealing, or grandchild, but here let's just stick with adult child, is dealing with alcohol, addiction, spouse abuse, major depression, perhaps even with hints of suicide. This one can be life or death. I'm not asking for permission. I'm coming in. The gravity of my respect for the need overrides my respect for their independence. If a child of mine of any age is on the train track and they don't see the train coming, I'm not only giving input, I'm coming in. I'm going to be the SWAT team. It's not intrusion. It's loving. Now, remember, we talked earlier about letting go, about turning their lives over to them. Well, to me, in these extreme circumstances, I still believe in turning their lives over to them. But in these circumstances, if we respectfully sit back in the face, let's say, of addiction, I'm not turning their lives over to them. I'm turning their lives over to cocaine or meth or a bottle of scotch. And that's not going to happen without me coming in. So that highest level of need is at any age, if they are 5 or 55, I am coming in when it applies to that imperative input. And by the way, I'm always, after talking about something that's serious, I always then smile when I realize that this is precisely the same dynamic when the shoe is on the other foot, and they will be putting safety ahead of respect of our independence one day when they reach out their hands and ask us for the car keys.
Yeah, you're right. That's good. Good framework for that.
Do those levels make sense,
yeah,
Neil?
Very good, helpful, concrete ways that we can kind of frame it. And we, I think, just have to think through the situations and circumstances of our individual lives on what level should be applied. Let's go to a phone call, because Eric is calling in from Bemidji, And he has a question about, I think he's a high school senior, I think, right? Eric, you're on with Ron Greer. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, those four levels, that's really wonderful.
I'm going to have you maybe...
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my apologies. I'm in my home cell phone coverage area, and I can't get a good signal.
All right.
Anyway, since my phone seems to be acting up, I'll make this quick. I'm really happy and proud of my kids. They stayed out of trouble. They're responsible. We haven't had a conversation about really anything. But now it's time for our senior to head to college. Maybe, maybe not. He just seems to have no motivation whatsoever. And we're kind of doing the work for him, getting financial aid applications filled out and whatnot. And I guess I'm trying to figure out, should we keep pursuing this? He really has no plans for the future whatsoever. But we try very hard not to be helicopter parents and whatnot. But the fact is that he just doesn't have any motivation to do anything once he's out of high school. Besides filling out his financial aid paperwork, which we kind of have to do with the taxes and everything, I'm just kind of wondering some suggestions for the next step that we should take.
Good question, Eric. Let's see if we can come up with some insight. Ron, go ahead.
Eric, you couldn't have asked a better question, because when it comes to an issue of motivation like this, again, it comes back to the level of importance and what matters. Where I identify the importance here for your son is, what is his dream and what is his goal? And if he is, and therefore that determines how far I want to go in regard to doing this for him. And if he does have a dream of a career that is going to require a college degree, then I want to be very clear with him what I will do to assist him in that. Now, there are always late bloomers, and he may be someone who has bloomed early in some ways, but this is one of those ways that he's a late bloomer. Assist him there. We don't want him to be penalized simply because this motivation of his of being responsible simply came into full bloom later rather than sooner, and therefore he missed out on a year or two when he could have already been going to college. So work with him on that. But the other thing I would want to identify with him is college something that he wants to have as a part of his life plan? And if he says, I don't know, then tell him he's going to have to decide that sometime soon. And then this is where I'm building for Eric, building to the, I would then give him some choices that he either is going to find some motivation and is going to join, and you're willing to help him, but he's either going to join you in filling out these forms and is doing what is needed to do to apply to college, or he's going to be looking for a job if he's not going to be going to college. And then what I would spell out for him, and I would give that some forethought in terms of the specifics of it, I would spell out for him what his life will look like if he does not fill out these forms and go to college, what his life will look like if he then gets a job. His room is going to become your room, and he will be paying, if he stays there, if that's okay with you, then what will be the rent? What will be the rules of the house, since he now will be out of high school and will be a young adult, and then go down the list as to what his life will look like, what the agreement will be, either if he wants to stay in your home and what that's going to be involving rent, et cetera, or what that will mean for him, what the going rate, the market rate for rent is in your town, what that will mean for him and what his cost of living will be and what he will need to be earning in terms of income. I want him to get a reality check here. So that can help him with some motivation if he understands that this rather nice lifestyle that he has going, perhaps even with a widescreen TV there in the den, isn't going to necessarily be the case if he doesn't get things into gear, apply to college, and move on with his life, because he may be in a fairly small apartment with a fairly small black and white TV in there that he can afford. I want him to get a reality check on that, and that may help him see what his options are and may help him take a significant boost forward with him developing that responsibility, that part of his character, and that part of his maturity. Is that useful, Eric?
Yeah, I think those are good words for him. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and get a little more conversation with Ron Greer, who serves as the Director of Pastoral Counseling Services at Peachtree Road Methodist Church in Atlanta. He's written several books, including If You Know Who You Are, You'll Know What to Do, Living with Integrity. And the one we're referencing is called Now That They're Grown, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children. We'll get more from Ron in just a moment, including we'll talk a little bit about when our kids experience a different faith or moral beliefs. We'll get him to react to that here in just a minute. Stay tuned. Helping launch our young adults so that they become mature and independent. Now That They're Grown is the book we're referencing, Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children, written by Ron Greer. Ron serves at the Peachtree Road Methodist Church in Atlanta, is Director of Pastoral Counseling Service there, and he's an ordained minister and joining us today. We've only got about, 7 minutes or so left, Ron. I do want to give you a chance to respond to, we know that, statistically, many young adults kind of leave their childhood faith, and while they tend to come back when there's children or marriage and children, but it's not always. So how do we bring up faith conversations with our adult children? Maybe if we have different views, maybe they're not attending church or, share different morality, some of those things. What do you recommend?
Such an important question. Because the young adults these days, the millennials, as they say, are very independent and do go different paths. There are two keys to me, Neil. One of them is when a moral or a faith issue comes into question and their lifestyle differs from the lifestyle that we have and the lifestyle, therefore, that we taught them. Let's remember not to rupture the relationship. The relationship, maintaining the relationship is key because, A, we love them, and B, we do not want to lose the positive moral influence that we can have on their lives for years to come because of a permanent breach that happened now. So those are two very important reasons. I can love someone I disagree with, and I must maintain that relationship with them as we engage this this value issue or as we engage this faith issue. If they come to us having changed their faith, having dropped faith out of their lives, or if they come to us with a moral issue, one that I frequently hear in my counseling office is the an issue of sons and daughters cohabitating without being married, and that is totally a contradiction to what they have been taught and what their parents believe in. If you get that kind of message, then say if you get an email with something that a daughter may be moving in with a boyfriend, then tell her that you would love to get together and talk. Make that a face-to-face. And let me give two or three points of guidance on how that conversation, when it goes well, how it typically, what increase the chances that it will. First, when you get together, first listen. Ask about her perspective. Or if she has lost her faith and has changed churches, dropped out of church, ask about it. Ask about what brought about this decision, what brought about this transition. Take her, and this is to me one of the litmus tests, take her as seriously as you want to be taken. If you want to be heard, you begin by hearing. Then, having heard her, having asked questions, sincerely wanting to know her perspective, not challenging her perspective, but wanting to know her perspective, then it's your turn to talk. Then try to be heard and understood. Share clearly, share directly, share with from the heart, most importantly, of your faith or of your moral position. Be succinct. And remember, do not be dictatorial. These are adults. You can do it from the heart. You can do it with passion. But don't be dictatorial. It isn't a debate. And dictating with an adult virtually always backfires. Then, having expressed it, what I would end with is to say, I have certainly taken you seriously. I have certainly heard you. I hope you've taken me seriously. I hope you have heard me. I hope you will consider the value of what you've always heard, as I would say, your mom and me say, for all these years, and that you will take that seriously and that you will continue to think about that and will continue to discern. And then at that point, of course, you must turn it over to her because it is her life. But remembering all the while the depth of the love that you have for this person and that you are going to maintain this relationship and not even say it out loud, nothing is going to cause a breach in our relationship. And we will keep this conversation going to the degree that it's appropriate, but we're most certainly going to keep this relationship going for the rest of our lives.
Ron, let's try and squeeze in one more call. Shelley's calling in Forest Lake, and we'll only have about 60 seconds to answer it. Shelley, go ahead with your question.
Kind of piggybacking on that, we have a relationship with my son. He's living still at home, an adult. How do you discipline in those situations, especially when they shut down and don't want to listen?
What helps, Shelley, and the cow's out of the barn on this one, but what helps is coming into the moving back in, or once they graduate from high school, then them continuing to live, is to come up with a plan. But it's not too late. If your adult son is going to be living at home, then there need to be some agreements. The way I think of it is that when they lived there the first time as children, it was your responsibility. This time they're living there is a gift. It's not your responsibility anymore. It is a gift. Therefore, they have to meet you halfway. They left home when they graduated from high school as kids. When they come back home, they return as adults. Everybody is responsible for their own adult life. So if he wants to live there, he has got to understand it's your house and you and your husband can set the rules of this house, and you'll need to have a sit down and develop what the plan, what the rules of the house will be, and included in that plan is every adult there takes care of themselves in every way, just like if you had say your brother moved in for a month, he was going to be in town on business, moved in for a month, he would most certainly take care of his laundry, he'd most certainly take care of all of his affairs within the house, all of his responsibilities within the house. You expect the same thing from your adult son.
I've got still a page full of questions that I didn't get to, Ron. We're going to have to have you back and talk more because it's, there's lots of areas where we could get waylaid, but you've given such good advice. I appreciate you taking some time today to help us. Ron Greer is a minister and director of pastoral counseling service at Peachtree Road Methodist Church in Atlanta. He's authored several books, including If You Know Who You Are, You'll Know What to Do, Living with Integrity, and the one we're referencing is called Now That They're Grown. It's Successfully Parenting Your Adult Children, and it's from Abington Press. Ron, blessings to you. Thank you for the good counsel and advice you've given us today.
Always a joy to talk with you, Neil. Blessings to you as well.
Ron Greer joining us today on Connecting Faith. If this is a topic that sparked some interest in you, and maybe you know someone that could really benefit from the conversation, we post our interviews online after the show, and they're all shareable. So if you go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, you'll find the podcast archives of these and many other conversations, and you can share them with a friend. It's myfaithradio.com.